Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with religious demonologist and co-host Adam Bly, and you. The phone lines are open because we are celebrating the holy angels today. Coming up on the two feast days that are next week on Monday and Thursday, the Feast of the Archangels, the Feast of the Guardian Angels, and we want to celebrate ahead of time. So we want you to call in. Oh, and Adam, wave to all the social media platforms going strong already. This is so exciting. But Adam, we always begin with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen is right. And you know, I don't think we celebrate this week coming up enough. We don't tap into the graces and the blessings when we acknowledge and we are so thankful for the archangels and the guardian angels. And Adam, you're going to present a little teaching for us, but we are going to go to the phones and we want our spirit world family to weigh in on this and tell us your relationship, your understanding of the archangels and the guardian angels. How they have been important in your spiritual life, how you love them, and you're so grateful to God for the whole angelic realm. Would you do that for us? Would you call in and really share? We are broadcasting literally all around the world. Thank you to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We are being produced by the Guadalupe Radio Network, and we have our senior producer at the controls, Tim Mott, doing a great job. Lori is on the phones, and she is ready to answer your call all about the archangels, the holy angels, the guardian angels, and coming up on the two feast days next week. It's a very powerful week. We do need you to weigh in, and here's the number, 877-757-9424. Again, that's 877-757-9424. And Anna just jumped in on our show team for the call screening because we know it's going to be a very, very active day today. So we do want you to call in. You don't have to be Catholic to call in because the beauty of the angels, Adam, is it spreads all across faith systems and people of all beliefs, which is so wonderful. And it's a way for all of us to come together. I love that it's a kind of an ecumenical or interfaith type broadcast where everybody can weigh in and share how they feel about the holy angels. And there go the phones, Adam, 877-757-9424. Okay, Adam, we're ready to hear just snippets and get excited about the holy angels.
Yeah, so over the years, Deb, I've seen so many just amazing things. And I've seen the power of the St. Michael prayer. I've seen angels be facilitators of deliverance of people, of healing of people. I've experienced the support that they give in terms of, you know, a guardian angel when you're wrestling with temptation. I've seen how, you know, connecting with the guardian angel for other people and asking for that help because we want to ask them to help us when we're struggling. It's just, it's powerful and it's beautiful. So really briefly, we have these three archetypes of angels, you could say. Not strictly Jungian archetypes, but kind of patterns or types of angelic activity. Of course, angel means messenger technically, but they do many different things. They're much more than just messengers. So we got Michael, most people have heard of, appears twice in the book of Daniel, once in the Epistle of St. Jude, once in the book of Revelation. Basically, the prince, the general of God's army, was instrumental in defeating, you know, the fallen angels at the war in heaven at the beginning, continues to fight for people, protect the people of Israel, protect the Catholic Church, protect Christians, to fight for them. That is described, you know, in Daniel 12:1 about, you know, this angel, which is probably Gabriel, but it doesn't say that, but but a lot of people conclude it was Gabriel coming to visit Daniel the prophet. And there's this really interesting exchange where he's like, I would have been here sooner.
Right.
But the prince of Persia, you know, the fallen angel over this nation over here was slowing me down, and Michael had to come and beat him up for me and basically, you know, fight him for me so I could get to you. It's a really interesting window into the angelic struggle and how much they fight for us in the background. So you got Michael plays a big role. Gabriel, you know, refers to God's strength. He does a lot of the messaging. So, you know, he's visiting Daniel. He's delivering stuff to the prophet. Daniel, we get to see how, like, when he appears, it's overwhelming. And Daniel's like, you know, you got to help me even be able to stand up and look you in the eye. You know, I'm struck mute. It's overwhelming, the glory of God being reflected. And he also delivers the message about John the Baptist, right, to Zechariah in the temple, that he's going to have a son, that Elizabeth's going to bear him a son, and it'll be John the Baptist. Then he goes and he visits Mary. He delivers the message there, you know, the Holy Spirit, and, you know, you're gonna carry Jesus. One interesting thing, just as we're running through this real quick, to note, when he appears to Daniel, it's overwhelming. It describes Daniel, like, falling to his knees in front of him and, like, basically doubling over and doesn't want to look up. And, you know, Gabriel has to say, no, it's okay, look up, stand up. You know, I'm not God.
Right.
You know, I'm just here to deliver a message. But when he meets Mary, you notice it doesn't describe her being overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
He does say, don't be afraid, because the appearance of an angel in its full glory is overwhelming to people. But we don't see Mary being terrified or overwhelmed. Yeah,
yes.
Which is really interesting about her unique status as a human, because we see everybody else basically being really overwhelmed by angels. Then we have Raphael. Now, he's in the Book of Tobit, and so Protestants don't recognize Raphael because the Book of Tobit, you know, came out of the Septuagint. It was a Greek version of the Old Testament that a lot of the early Christians drew from whenever they would quote the Old Testament in the New Testament, because not many read Hebrew, but they read Greek. And so the Book of Tobit's there in the Septuagint, but the Protestants tend to drop it, so they don't talk about Raphael. But this is a reference to healing. He delivers somebody, you know, of a spiritual problem. He accompanies, appears as a man. People don't realize he's a man when he wants to, when God wants him to. He heals people. He gives guidance. He does a number of things related to healing and deliverance there. So you have these three kind of like the messenger Gabriel, the warrior Michael, and the healer Raphael. And by the way, some people think that if you remember the pool in Bethsaida, that the waters would stir, and the people believed an angel had come down from heaven and was stirring the water, and the
stirring
first one that
water.
Got there
right.
would be healed. Mm-hmm. And you know that man that was there for all those years and Jesus healed him. A lot of people think that Raphael would be that angel that
right.
was stirring the water. But it's not explicitly said, but it's just kind of a conclusion of scholars. So we kind of have these three kind of big functions of angels embodied in these three named angels that Scripture gives us. And then, of course, guardian angels
and
are referenced. Yeah.
Right. And I would love to share that, because October 2nd is one of my, as everyone should know by now, I love October 2nd with the Feast of the Guardian Angels. And real simply put, you can go into the Catechism to really understand as best we can about the guardian angels. But Psalm 91, God's protection, in most translations of the Bible, God's protection, right in the middle of the Psalm, it talks about how the angels are there to guard us and guide us in all our ways. So you've got that right there in Scripture, stating that the guardian angel's role to minister to us individually. They're not recycled, folks. They are for us. And it's so important that we understand that how important each and every life is, because God has assigned an angel to each and every life, and that because he wants us to get back home to him. So it's a beautiful thing, but I know you wanted to quickly comment about the guardian angels. I love October 2nd. I do love September 29th with the archangels. Absolutely. My confirmation name is Michelle after St. Michael. I love this week, but especially when everybody can focus on one day saying thank you to the holy angels. Mm. I think that is so important, Adam, because, you know, tell me if you agree with this or if I'm on the right track about this. I believe that in all the years I've been studying this, that the demons know how to get us to not remember the angels, the holy angels. They can get us to do that. Why do I know that? Because if you ask people in the morning and when you meet them, did you think about your guardian angel today? Did you know you had a guardian angel next to you? And they'll say, I didn't even think about it. Noah, thanks for reminding me, you know, and it's something that's it's so real. It's right. I mean, right now, Adam, you have your guardian angel beside you. I have my guardian angel beside me. It's the most beautiful idea and concept and truth of the faith but yet we so easily forget it. And I believe that that's another way the demons just know how to get us to forget it. But having this whole week where we can focus on the holy angels, I think is so honoring to God for what he has done for us.
Yeah. And, you know, look up the guardian angel prayer. If you haven't looked at that in a number of years, you can look at the chaplet of St. Michael, which references, you know, the different choirs of angels, and we can reflect on that. There's a lot of different ways, but the basic thank you is wonderful, because remember, angels have free will. The holy angels that are before God in heaven, they joyfully do God's will. They're not going to say no to God, because they're in the beatific vision, right? Jesus said, don't shoo the children away, their angels are before my Father in heaven. So they're joyfully doing it, but they said yes at the moment of their creation, to serve you specifically and help get you to heaven. They knew that's what they were created for, and they said yes to that mission. Believe me.
And they don't regret it.
No, they don't regret
it. They don't sit there and go, oh, Debbie Giorgiani is a really hard mission, a really hard task. They don't regret it. They're in. They're 100% in.
Well, I think I got assigned a group because it was necessary. But yes, so thank them for saying yes, you know. They said yes to this. They continued to fight for you. Ask for their help when you're tempted, when you're struggling. Ask for their help when you're struggling to get up and go to Mass, when you know you should, but you're feeling lazy. Ask for their help when you know maybe you should pray a little bit, or here's a moment to evangelize, and maybe I should be brave and, you know, share my faith and how it helps me. Whatever it might be, you know, this is a week to maybe make a point to say thank you and please do more.
Right. I love that. Okay, so we're going to hit the pause button. When we come back, we're going right to the phones. Okay, we had full phone lines plus, and when our first caller was Nick from Birmingham, Alabama. He was a first-time caller, and Nick, you dropped off for some reason. We're going to try to hold your spot a little bit so you can call back, because you called in early. So, Nick, if you're listening from Birmingham, Alabama, on the EWTN app, please call back, and everyone else as well. We're talking about celebrating the whole Holy Angels today. I'm so excited. You can hear it in my voice, you guys. I could talk about this forever. 877-757-9424 is the number to reach us. We'd love to put you on air with us. The show team is going strong. Lori and Anna and Tim, we've got everything in place. We just wait for your call as you want to thank and celebrate and learn more about the Holy Angels when we come back.
GRN is grateful for the faithful underwriting of Saint Candles. Saint Candles is a lifestyle brand featuring modern-style scented candles, each named after a patron saint. There is a prayer coin inside the candle, so when you are finished burning it, you can discover a keepsake of that saint. Available candles include Saint Padre Pio, Saint Dimphna, Saint Michael, and of course Our Lady of Guadalupe, among many others. You can see the full collection at saintcandles.com with the code Guadalupe.
Most of us can recall a childhood memory of innocence and a peace that only comes from God. Yet with our busy schedules today, many families don't attend church weekly or spend much time teaching their children about God. So many families now are burdened by financial and family challenges, substance abuse, and other worries. But there is hope. Studies show that people who pray regularly and practice their Christian faith are less stressed, financially stable, more compassionate, optimistic, healthier, and happier. Experience a positive difference in your life and for your family by coming home to your parish. Learn more by visiting CatholicsComeHome.org today. Here you may find answers to your questions and discover how Jesus and the sacraments will bless your family. There's no pressure or risk. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, Adam, please give a big wave to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, TikTok, and Twitch. You guys are going strong. We even have some calls coming in from the social media platforms, and the chats are going. And put in the chats how you feel about your guardian angel, the holy angels, the archangels. Do you do the Chaplet of St. Michael? Do you pray the guardian angel prayer each morning and in the evening? Do you understand the truth of the angels? We'll happily help you in any way we can. If you have a question that it goes a little bit longer, you can always email us tsw@grnonline.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast, and find me personally at Debbie Giorgiani on Facebook page, because I've been posting some things there, and I will next week for sure on the Guardian Angels, Adam. Some interesting things about the connection with Padre Pio. So I'll be sharing that. Just find me at Debbie Giorgiani. Okay. That's on Facebook. One other thing, one more shout out to our would have been our new friend Nick, who was a first time caller who dropped off from Birmingham, Alabama. Please, Nick, call back at 877-757-9424. I always like to do a couple shout outs to those that call in very early, because you made the extra effort to get in on the Spirit World. So I want to make sure you have that opportunity. But in the meantime, Adam, let's move to the phones, shall we?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to go to George first in Hamilton, New Jersey, on Domestic Church Media. George, welcome to the Spirit World.
Hello, thank you.
Go right ahead, George. Thank you.
Over the years, I've had a lot of dreams and a lot of happenings, and I actually wrote down all the things that happened. But according to angels, I had a dream. It was like the end of time, and angels came to the earth, and they had these, it looked like about seven, maybe more, in my sight, and they had these long trumpets, and when they blew the trumpets, all the people stopped, and they were like obedient to the sound of the trumpet, and it was like the most beautiful sound, but it was so beautiful that I couldn't imagine a sound like that. And we all froze in our tracks, and it was like they were just bringing us to attention, and I guess like gathering us, you know. And that's about it. That's how, you know, then I, you know, it was the end of the dream.
Interesting, George.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, of course, this sounds very reminiscent of the Book of Revelation and the trumpets and the seven seals. And, you know, dreams are one way that, and of course, George, we can't know for sure whether that was, you know, a dream that came from God, and it was, you know, a spiritual kind of message, whether it was your mind generating that from having read the Book of Revelation at some point. But we do know that angels have appeared in people's dreams. It's very scriptural. You know, Acts 2:17, you know, there's that line, your young men shall see visions and your old men shall have dreams. And we know that, of course, Joseph was visited by angels in his dreams that gave him instructions. So clearly, we know that God uses dreams to deliver messages. If you hadn't read the Book of Revelations well, I would explore it, George. Whenever God gives us a nudge, that, you know, something that might be from God, it's always with a purpose. It's never just random, like, oh, I saw something from the Book of Revelation, it wasn't that interesting. God always has a reason for that. So you know, there might be something in this phase in your life that God wants you to understand, or something that you need in your spiritual journey, your spiritual growth towards God, that is there. That's just my thought. What do you think, Deb?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Adam. The one thing I think I heard you say, George, are you journaling this, the dreams? Are you keeping a track of this?
I have dreams on Jesus came to me, an antichrist, a person claiming they were God, but they weren't. I have so many dreams of the spiritual and actual, the dead coming to me, telling me events that didn't even happen yet, but and then they happen. But I don't claim any of this because I don't feel until, you know, if God was actually telling me this, I would believe it. But I do write it all down.
You know? Okay. Okay, that's good. So just so you get it in order there, so you can reflect back to see what things were happening in your life at the time you were having those dreams. But I agree with Adam. You know, you may be prompted to just go into deeper prayer, into deeper discernment, maybe with some future ministry work in certain areas. George, I just would have you possibly consider that you know, because God taps people, whether it's in dreams or when we are walking around in an alert state, he's always tapping people. And so, but typically it's for us to go get into a deeper, more permanent state of grace, right? To get in a state of grace, stay in a state of grace. That's very important. That's what God wants. But then he also wants us to help others. And so if there's a way in prayer, George, that you can help others, like if you are getting some dreams about people that have passed or things that are happening, maybe pray for the world, pray for the country, pray for the church, pray, you know, prayer is, I think, is the most needed thing right now in this whole entire planet, because I just feel with everything going topsy-turvy, George, when we have committed prayer warriors, and I mean committed, that are going to take it on and really help to remedy and heal what's going on that is broken, I think that is the most beneficial thing that could happen for all of us and for all of eternity. So just be thinking about that, George. And the other thing I just wanted to share is, you know, thank you for trusting us with this, because this is the reason why we do this show, because I'm probably guessing, George, you can't just go into the local church or and parish and just say, hey, I'm having these dreams, and, you know, exactly. So that's why we wanted this platform, so we can explore this and really understand what it means for all of us as we are living on this side of the veil. So I hope that you feel good about your call to us, and I hope you continue to journey with us as we unpack all of this together. Is there anything else you wanted to share, sir?
No, and I just want to say, every time you have a conversation in this order, you're giving glory to God, and that's the ultimate thing.
Oh, thank you, George. Thank you. We were trying to all do this together, right? And this is what we do with everybody's participation. The other thing I just want to share real quickly, you were talking about the sound of the music you could hear from the angels. You know, that is very, Adam, that is very consistent with what we've heard from near-death experiences, when people have experienced the angels in, on the other side, after they've had a near-death experience. The music, you can't even describe it. There's no words. There's nothing you can do to describe it well enough to capture exactly what it feels like, because it actually moves all of the senses. It's just so alive. So George, it's pretty awesome that you have these experiences. I just pray that it continues to move you in that deeper spiritual direction. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, and the final thing, George, and for anybody else listening, whenever you might be having dreams that are from God, or you might be, you know, think that you had a vision of something that might be from God, especially if you're having them repeatedly like George, it's really important to go to your priest and have a conversation about it. Try to submit that to the authority that your pastor has over you to give you some guidance, because we always want to separate, you know, things out between imagination, what could be mental illness, what could be dreams from God, and you need an outside perspective to help you do that. I'm not saying George is necessarily in any of those categories, but it's a good thing to remember. The church does encourage us, when we have things that might be supernatural experiences, to take them to the church and ask for a sit down and, you know, if they have time to give you spiritual direction. Yeah.
Right, right.
It can be really helpful to get that outside perspective.
Right. Absolutely. George, thank you so much being our first caller today on this particular episode celebrating the Holy Angels. Please call us again. We love Domestic Church Media in New Jersey. Thank you, George. Okay, we're going to get to our next caller in just a moment. I just want to just make sure we clarify a couple things. You had mentioned about angels appearing in dreams, and you had referenced about St. Joseph. I just want to just be clear, because some of it, you know, you'll get some that are very, very dedicated to the holy angels, and they'll say, okay, there's a question about, was that person really dreaming, or were they alert in their dreams? Because remember, the angels are messengers, right? So there is that slight little nuance there, folks, that you want to be very careful about, because you just don't want to say, well, I had this dream and I had all these angels telling me what to do, and now I'm going to leave my job and I'm going to move across the country. And it, you know, you have to be very careful, because when the angels deliver a message, they are very clear. You are very alert. So meaning alert in your dreams, you are very alert if it's going to be a dream. When I've experienced it myself, or when I've heard the hundreds of stories of people, they were actually woken up from the dream and then went back into sleep. So there's an interesting little dynamic there that we have to key in on. So Adam, I just wanted to be clear of that, because I don't want people to start taking their dreams and interpreting them as that it actually is for sure coming, you know, from God through the angels as a message. Would you agree on that?
Yeah, you have to be really careful, because God's never going to have you give you a direction to do something contrary to the ministry he's already given you in life. So let's say you've been given the married life and it's been productive and there's children and you have this commitment that's lifelong. God's not going to send you a message to leave your family and go off and do something else now, because that God is a God of order. Right. And that just wouldn't fit. So we do need to be really careful with dreams, and that's why, you know, submitting them to your priest can be really helpful to get perspective.
Perfect. Okay, we do have an open phone line because George just freed it. So there you go. 877-757-9424 is the number to call. We're celebrating the Holy Angels today, and we're going to move to first-time caller Pat from Tennessee on Sirius XM 130. Pat, you're going to have to help me with your city because I don't recognize it.
Okay. It's Tullahoma.
Tullahoma.
A nice, sweet little retirement where a lot of us military people retired.
Oh, I want to go. I want to go there.
You would love it. You would love it. It's in the South.
Very cool. Very cool. You go right ahead, Pat. I love it. I just marked it on my paper here, so I'm going to look it up after the show.
Well, listen, thank you, Adam and Debbie. You two are a blessing to us converts. I was 30 years of Protestant, but I did listen to you as a Protestant. So I want to hit two things in my explanation. One for practicing Catholics and those that have never even dove into angels, and those that are Protestants that I know listen to your program because I did. So we have a group of ladies that we started the Michael Chaplet of St. Michael, and it has been such a blessing and an eye-opener to me, because as a Protestant, you couldn't get too deep into angels because they worried that you were worshiping them. So it was always a light subject. Mm-hmm. So our struggle is not with flesh and blood and the principalities. In his Ephesians 6:12, I still lay on the scriptures as the 30 years as a Protestant. So I know that's important to Protestants, and they need to. I don't want to give too much information on this, but I do want to say I am excited. I was excited always as a Catholic, and I always have shared the love of Jesus. Mm. So as a Protestant, so as a Catholic, I'm trying to learn to do that, but there's so much to learn but just knowing that the angels are helping me. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm a little blessed.
I know, it feels beautiful, doesn't it? Yeah.
Are helping me as I make this journey, and all this new wonderful tradition, Catholic, everything, I can't get enough. And this precious church here in Tullahoma, with the sweet people here that has helped me, I want to go to the mountaintop and just to all my Protestant friends, just, you know, be on that trumpet like the angels and let them know we are not on our own. Right. We're not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So thank you, too, for everything. I listen to your show weekdays. I listen to it on Saturdays. I did before I even came to the Catholic Church, but there's a backstory to that way more than I can get on here. I know you have a list full of people. I was baptized as a Catholic and did not even know it as a Protestant.
Wow.
I lost both my parents when I was I lost both my parents by 9 years old, and I was baptized, and both my parents passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not know. I was already in it, and God has brought me home. So,
beautiful.
You know, that's a whole nother thing. So thank you for your program. If you haven't done the angels, there's a great book, Defend Us in Battle, the book I'm in now as we're going through the chaplet. And there's so much more information that you could dig into. And I'm not telling you because it's wonderful. And when you dig into it, the Lord is going to bless you. I promise.
Beautiful.
And that's what I have.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. And Pat, okay, couple things. Okay. We're not going to let you go that easily. So couple things.
Okay.
All right. I need you to stay on the line after we're finished with the call and we go to break. I need you to stay on the line while Anna or Lori or Tim is going to pick up the phone and get your contact information if you're willing to give us a testimonial, because our senior producer, Tim, yeah, because you said you want to shout it from the rooftops. So Pat, we're going to give you that opportunity. Tim is delightful to talk to. You will love him.
Okay.
And okay,
sure.
So stay on the line. That's number one. Number two, you're talking about resources and you're in the middle of a book right now. I'm going to give you additional resources.
Okay.
Adam Bly is coming out with a book in just a couple months from Sophia Institute Press that's coming out on a deep dive into the angels, the history of the angels. So that'll be coming out. So be looking for that. Adam and I put together a book on questions and answers about angels and demons that can be used in the classroom for catechists. Okay, so that's going to be coming out before the end of the year. But I've always recommended this book because I think she did an amazing job. God rest her soul. I just believe that she is enjoying all of eternity for the work that she has done. Joan Carol Cruz, Angels and Devils. I'm holding up the book right now. You can see all my bookmarks in the book. And it's an amazing book. She's done. You can see how thick it is, folks, on social media. It is incredible. Angels and Devils. Joan Carol Cruz. Also, Peter Kraft did a book, Angels and Demons. And so there are a lot of books, great books like the one you referenced as well, Pat, that are out there right now. But we want to continue that because there's so much we don't know about the angels. So we want to make sure we keep the conversations fresh and alive and keep going exactly for the reason that you just said, Pat, and that is to bring comfort and the reality of knowing that we have an angelic realm that is working on our behalf to get us home to God. It is the most beautiful thing. It's a truth
amen.
Of our faith. Yes, amen, sister. And welcome home, Pat. We just love you, and we love your testimony today. And Adam, real quickly, any comments for Pat, because we're heading into a break?
No, just thanks for calling, Pat. I'm really happy for you, and I pray that Jesus bless you, you know, to take you the rest of the way in this journey, whatever he wants you to get out of life and your spiritual life with him and grow closer to him and evangelize. You have a spirit for evangelization that comes through, and so I encourage you to look for those opportunities in your life.
Yeah,
thank
and Pat...
you,
Pat, bring us to your retirement community. Maybe Adam and I will stay there, okay?
Oh, my goodness. You will love it, and you won't want to go back to Big City USA.
Okay. Okay. We'll take you up on it. Stay in touch with us, but stay on the line because okay. our show team's going to pick
I
up
will.
The. Okay. God bless you, Pat. Call us again for sure. What a wonderful call, Adam.
Amazing. Yeah. It's really beautiful.
I know. I just love our spirit world family. And you know, if you have a longer story that you can't share on air, it's fine. You can just email us. Adam and I read the emails and we'll respond. TSW, that stands for the spirit world, at grnonline.com. Why is it GRN online? Because GRN stands for Guadalupe Radio Network, which is producing this show. So it's so wonderful. And it's heard all over the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So when we come back, celebrating more of the Holy Angels with you and your calls. Javier, you're up next, so hang on. Everybody hang tight. We'll be back in just a minute.
The month of September is dedicated to the Sorrowful Mother. O Most Holy Virgin, Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the overwhelming grief you experience when you witness the martyrdom, the crucifixion, and death of your divine Son, look upon me with eyes of compassion and awaken in my heart a tender commiseration for those sufferings, as well as a sincere detestation of my sins. In order that being disengaged with all undue affection for the passing joys of this earth, I may sigh after the eternal Jerusalem, and that henceforth all my thoughts, all my actions may be directed towards this one most desirable object, honor, glory, and love to our divine Lord Jesus, and to the Holy and Immaculate Mother of God. Amen.
Want some more joy in your life? Need some more peace in your day? Want to wake up each morning excited about life in a whole new way? Life coaching may be just what you need. We have a team of dedicated coaches willing to assist you in creating a plan for a better future with God as the focus. Jesus said, "I came for you to have life and have it to the full." So begin today with that abundant life. Visit us at standtalltoday.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, we're not going to take any more breaks. I promise. That was a two minutes too long, right? Because you guys want to get on air with us, and we totally understand. So we're going to go back to the phones. Adam, Javier is up next from San Antonio, Texas on EWTN.com. Javier, thanks for waiting, and welcome to the Spirit World.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. You go right ahead, sir.
My question has to deal with the number of angels created. It's probably not an actual, I guess, final answer, but I'm trying to get a sense of the number. So I think Adam Bly, in a previous broadcast, it's likened the number of, like, I guess, fallen angels to, like, bacteria, which is a large number. I guess even in the human body, the number of microorganisms is probably, I think, outnumbers the number of cells in the body. So that's over a trillion. So in thinking about the angels, whether holy angels or fallen angels, the quantity, is it sort of in the trillions, quadrillions, mm-hmm. or countable? Just sort of curious about that.
Okay, Javier. Yeah, this is a question that's come up down through the centuries. Different people have thought about it. Part of what we can say for sure, given that the church teaches that there's a unique guardian angel for each person, that there was an angel created at the beginning of time for every single human, human being that would be born in the course of time until the final judgment. So that would put them at least in the billions, many billions at this point, for just the guardian angels. And of course, the Bible references other functions that angels do, including many different things. We are not given all the details about the angels. There's the reference in Revelation that a third of them, you know, fell and two-thirds stayed loyal. So we're given a little bit of a clue there that it's a minority that fell. But there's never a number given. So we're never going to know that for sure. And we don't need to know that. So what Scripture gives us about angels is enough to ask for their intercession, because they're there to assist us in the journey towards the beatific vision. But we're not supposed to have undue focus on them. And so the Bible doesn't get into those kind of details. At least that's my understanding from everything the church has cautioned about, you know, getting too wrapped up in angels and starting to treat them like, you know, things that people would even come close to worshiping, which the angels themselves tried to caution people against because they're so overwhelming when they appear to people. So basically, Javier, we don't know, but it's obviously many. The analogy for bacteria that I was using was more about the nature of bacteria being an invisible thing that is all around, that we learn about, and then we have to take precautions about. But it shouldn't cause us to stop living and going about in the world. I wasn't so much thinking in terms of numbers.
Right. Does that help, Javier?
It does. Thank you for your
Thank you. Thank you.
God
Call
bless
us
you.
Again. Yes. Yeah. Have a beautiful weekend. Call us again, Javier. We love these kinds of questions. I think it helps all of us. Patrick is up next from Buffalo, New York, on the iCatholic radio app. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Debbie. It's been so long since I called you.
I know. It's good to hear your voice. You go right ahead.
Absolutely. Here's my question real quick that I was thinking about. As humans, when we sin, and I've sinned and fallen just like everybody else in my life, and my guardian angel has been my witness. She's been given to me, and I take my guardian for granted. My question is, how does my guardian angel feel? Does my guardian angel hide? Does my guardian angel become disappointed in me? Because the things I've done have been despicable to put God in the back corner. So I just wonder, how can I come to him, her, the angel sent to her, him, knowing that I am such a sinner? It's just like, wow. And God, this is my question.
Yeah.
When we're in the state of sin, do they go somewhere else? Are they always clinging to us? Do they turn away? Like, how can this person mean it? How do I have to witness and watch it? Like,
right.
So that's my simple question.
So, Right. Patrick, it sounds like you may be on a speakerphone, so I just want to make sure that our listeners heard you clearly. You were talking about, like, when we sin, what does our guardian angel do? Does our guardian angel leave us? Does our guardian angel... and Adam and I can go back and forth because we both now have deeply studied angels, okay? Based on, even if you go with the lives of the saints, okay? Look at the lives of the saints and their relationship with the guardian angels, okay? If we just reference that, because a lot of our teaching of angels comes from the understanding of what the saints and the doctors of the church, like St. Thomas Aquinas, understand about angels. Okay. But the angels, the guardian angels, are the best adorers of God, the beatific vision, the best adorers. And based on the lives of the saints, when sin is introduced or a break in the friendship with God, those guardian angels actually go into deeper prayer to help you come to your senses, to come back into a state of grace. So think of it like this: when we mess up, they don't sit there and they're sad because they don't have those kinds of emotions, because they are beholding the face of God and ministering to us at the same time. So if you look at that concept, beholding the face of God, ministering to us, when we start to break our friendship with God, they don't leave us. They go into deeper prayer to inspire us, to illuminate our mind, to get us back in right order. So they go, they have to, basically, they go into, they have to work work extra, if you will, if you look at it like that, in a human standpoint, they go into deep, deep prayer to get us, shake us out of this place that we're in. So it's a beautiful relationship. They're working hard, but we have to cooperate. Adam, do you want to clean up what I just said?
Yeah, so Patrick, they never give up on us. Your guardian angel is going to be there with you all the way through to your judgment, no matter what. And yeah, like Deb said, they're going to pray all the harder, and they're going to give you that conviction that I need to repent, I need to get to confession. They're going to encourage those thoughts and feelings in you, and they're going to be interceding so that you receive the grace to go and repent. So, right. And never think that they're condemning you or giving up on you, or they don't have emotions the way we do. As Deb said, mm-hmm. they're different. They don't have bodies, and a lot of the emotions come from the physical body.
Right.
But they want the will of God to be done is the primary thing. And the will of God is that you be in the beatific vision. So that's their goal. Don't worry. You're never give up on yourself, and they're never going to give up on you either.
I love how you said that, Adam. And Patrick, the beauty of it is when we do mess up and we're, you know, we are all sinful, we're going to make these bad choices. When we get that really strong signal to say, okay, I got to get to confession. I've got to make an act of contrition. I've got to repent. I've got to stop this next time. I've got to make better choices. They are by our side, helping us in deep prayer with that. So the beauty of it is when we come back to our senses, the graces start to become crystal clear and the clarity is there. Sometimes when we break our friendship, we can't really read those signals, if you will. So that's why it's so important. That's why Adam and I say, get in a state of grace, stay in a state of grace as long as possible. What do you say, Patrick? Did we nail it?
We nailed it. And the point I want to say is that I've been getting nudges to go to confession. And I haven't gone yet, and I'm going to go soon, and I know that's coming from my guardian angel, because I'm back to praying. I'm praying hard. I'm listening to EWTN. I'm doing rosaries. I'm doing chaplets. So I know there's nudges. So, and when I try to get back in, it's got to be my guardian angel nudging me back. And thanks be to God that God Almighty gave us an angel. We can't do it alone.
That's right. He knew what God knew what we were going to be up against, Patrick. He knew that. That's why he gave us a soul guard, a bodyguard to help us through this journey in our guardian angel. But Patrick, if you're getting promptings by the Spirit, remember everything's coming from the Holy Spirit through the guardian angels, okay? So everything's coming from God. If you're getting promptings from the Spirit to go to confession, Patrick, just go. Just go. Okay? Don't hesitate.
Okay.
Okay, just go, Patrick, and then call us back and let us know how great it was. Will you do that?
You got it. I have one favor if you can. Yesterday was the prayer request. This isn't my soul. It really hurts. I've been divorced 5 years, not my own choice. And tomorrow is my fifth anniversary of my wedding anniversary. Yes, God's granted me the grace. I got through it. I'm feeling I'm back to the church. I didn't put my marriage at the center of faith, but help me to heal and move on from this fifth anniversary. It's just, and I wish I was still married, and I wish I protected my wife and my family like I should have in the Catholic Church. Just keep me in my prayers. Like, it's over this grief, and it's been 5 years, and still struggling. Tomorrow's the anniversary.
Absolutely, Patrick. Patrick, you are referencing the prayer show we did yesterday on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I've got the prayer book out, Patrick. The Take Two family will definitely keep you lifted in prayer. Okay, buddy?
Yeah, my sister from another mother. I love you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, take care, Patrick. Stay in touch with us, please. Okay, Elizabeth is up next from New York, on Instagram at GRN Online. Adam, wave to Instagram. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Hi. So I have a question about how you can better connect with your guardian angels and whatnot for guidance, because I've definitely struggled a few times, many times actually, with just anxiety and doubt and just being like, really surrendering and just having better faith. So if there's any pointers with how you can just get that peace and letting go of a lot of control, because I feel like that's something I've struggled with for so long.
So let me share something, Elizabeth, because I have struggled over the years with worry and anxiety. I come from a family that has perfected worrying. Okay, so Elizabeth, I'm very experienced in this area. One of the reasons I got so close to my guardian angels is because my aunt, who is a Dominican sister, still going strong in Caldwell, New Jersey, really got us introduced to guardian angels, because she said you shouldn't have this kind of anxiety and worry like this at a young age, and you shouldn't carry on with this your entire life. Your guardian angel is there to really inspire you, illuminate your mind, strengthen your will, and the best way, in my opinion, my humble opinion, the best way to say that is engage your guardian angel. Your guardian angel's working because your guardian angel has a mission from God. So your guardian angel is working on your behalf. There's no doubt about it, through prayer, no doubt. But if you want more of maybe some inspiration or illumination in a certain area to really calm down those fears, calm down the anxiety, the best way I know is to acknowledge that you have a guardian angel. Thank God that you have a guardian angel in the morning and the evening. You don't need to try to, in any way, shape, or form, try to get your guardian angel to contact you or do anything like that. That's not the purpose of the guardian angel. But just to acknowledge that they have a mission given by God themselves brings glory to God and allows them to do their work. And I believe they go into overtime, just really working well. And Adam just texted over, and he's spot on. I was going there next, Adam. The divine mercy, the devotion of divine mercy. Adam, you nailed it. Elizabeth, people may think I'm OCD, and maybe I am, okay? But I say, Jesus, I trust in you 1,000 times a day. And I will tell you, Elizabeth, I don't have a lot of anxiety and worry anymore, because I put all my trust, Jesus, I surrender, all my trust in Jesus, all my chips in, and I know I've got my guardian angel helping me, and we walk this walk. We do our best we can, because our ultimate goal is to get back home to God. That's our ultimate goal. So I don't know if my personal journey has helped you, but I'd love to hear your comments.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just hearing that, I literally felt a weight off my shoulders. So thank you so much, because a lot of it comes from just the future, because I've called him before. I am the ex new ager. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just for years, because I was involved in that, and I was just telling my friend this, it's like you get this false sense of security, because you would get it where you have this physical thing where it's like, okay, I need clarity with my future. So it's like you go to a card, and then it's like, okay, I got my fix. And then when that dissipates because it's not real, you go again and you go again. So then when that's wiped out, it's just, I guess this is just really me learning how to just, I don't have these things anymore, which is good, because it never felt real and it never felt legitimate anyway. But now I have to really walk in just legitimate faith, where it's kind of like you're on the balance beam, but you don't have any, have any railings, but that's the way it should be.
But Elizabeth, you do. Because if you put all your trust in Jesus, all your trust, all he wants, all of it, okay, the clarity will come. You'll know the next steps to take to get home to God. That's the beauty of it. So the more we trust God, the more we know the path. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, you know, trusting Jesus, I've seen over the years, is usually the final hurdle that people struggle with when they're moving towards being delivered of spiritual problems. And it's something that Jesus always wants the person to achieve. And it's a lifelong journey, but it is super important to trust your Creator, trust His will, and trust His providence. It really liberates you from anxiety.
Yes, absolutely. So, Elizabeth, we always love your calls. Keep in touch with us. Again, you can always email us, tsw@grnonline.com. Elizabeth from New York, thank you so very, very much. I am taking a snapshot of everybody right now because I feel so bad. Wave to everybody again, Adam. We didn't even get to the social media chats and what's happening there. We did not get to Gail, a first-time caller in Massachusetts. John, Syracuse, New York. Karen, a first-time caller in Texas. Shelley in Massachusetts. So many coming in from the Station of the Cross. Elizabeth, we got to you. Great. We're going to have our show team pick up the phones and talk to everybody. Maybe you can get in on the mailbag. Wow. Another show well done, I think, by our listeners. For Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.